One, two, three, four. Just another day at my dead-end profession. I've lived day to day. And listen to some good old country records on the radio. And yeah, what else can I say?
You're listening to the Adam Carolla Podcast.
No, it's not. It's the Degenerates. I told you something different. I'm the king of pranks. You're listening to the Degenerate Podcast. I'm Ryan Shores. That's Dave Callens.
Wait, is Carolla here?
No. Never is going to happen.
Bitch.
And behind the soundboards, Mr. Robert Timothy.
The true king of pranks, thank you very much.
On the show this week, I'm very excited to have him. He has been our sponsor this month. You've heard me promote his business before. I'm very happy to have him. The owner and founder of Savage Productions, Mr. Greg Curtis, everybody. Thanks for coming on, man.
It's my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
And I got to apologize because I was calling you, and the first time we plugged you, I said Savage House Productions, but that's not the name of your business at all. But that is the name of your haunted attraction that is up now. And where's it located?
We're at the Westfield Mission Valley.
Okay.
We're in the Target parking lot right there by Chipotle, which is
scary
really awful, you know, because
E. coli, you know, that's a silent killer. Now, so how long have you been doing your haunted attraction?
This is actually only our third year. The company is actually Savage Productions, and we do primarily horror movie collectibles and displays, things like that, all handmade stuff that we
and
have
a cover on. Band of Savage Garden.
Yes.
Well, and they do a lot of memorabilia for Ben and Fred Savage, of course.
Oh yeah, yeah, absolutely. Those guys were a great team.
God damn it, Bobby.
Yeah, I tried to talk over him. He beat me to it.
Listen, you have to just let him fail. It's the only way he'll learn.
I made a Boy Meets World reference in relation to Halloween. I am no failure. Thank you very much.
So, all right. Now, you used to work for one of the bigger attractions here in San Diego. Was it the Haunted Hotel?
Yeah, I did. I spent probably 6 years working for the Haunted Hotel. Really great guys, actually. And that's kind of where I learned the majority of my craft, working for those guys.
Were they a little upset with you when you decided to branch out on your own, like, and become their competition?
Honestly, no. I can't say that they were. They've been pretty supportive about it, which is great. It was sad to leave them, but we had some of our own ideas of what we wanted to do with an attraction, which was different than what they do. And so that we just felt that the timing was right to kind of go off on our own and do our own project. But they've both been really great, the owners.
Because I imagine this being like something where they curse your name every time they see it, like, Savage! Fucking Savage! That's what they say every time they see your name in the paper.
Yeah, you're the bass player who went off to start his own band, right?
That's right.
So true. We've seen that in a lot of other different venues. But yeah, it hasn't been the case, which is good. Well, I don't know. You know, I'm not there when they open the reader and see a half-page ad, so I don't know, maybe.
And what makes your attraction different than most?
Actual ghosts. They go on a cemetery. Terrors are only kind of, they get real ghosts, they bring them in.
Or at least they try, you know, they kill some people right beforehand.
I mean, they weren't helping out anyway.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, all of our props are actually donated from the San Diego Coroner's Office.
There you go.
So, yeah. Now, our attraction is what we refer to as a themed haunt. So a lot of other haunted attractions, every room you go into has something different going on. The rooms really aren't affiliated with each other in any way.
Cool.
Ours is a storyline. So the very first room kind of sets the pace for everything, just like in a movie. And the rest of the haunt, every room, it's all very consistent with the theme all the way up into the end. And so that's what makes it a little different. You know, people come through there, and it's a storyline, you know. So
how long does it take a person to go from that first room all the way through?
Well, last night we had a group of four that came through there, and they were
and
done.
They never came
they
out.
Were done in a, no, they were done in about 45 seconds because they went out the first emergency exit. So, it's a lot of people like to kind of take their time because they take it all in. A lot of really great set design.
What's the average?
I would say probably about 15 minutes.
So it's like you're the star of your own 15-minute movie. Like you walk in and you're the star of your own 15-minute horror movie.
Yeah, there's a lot of interaction with the actors in there, so you're just not passing through things. You get held up and you interact with them and they interact with you. And,
whoa.
Yeah,
my wallet's gone. Yeah, I want to start at the last room and memento that shit. Figure it out backwards. Wait a second. What happened before this?
Now, I got to ask, because I've always wondered this about haunted attractions. Do the actors kind of, I don't know, gear how scary they're going to be based on, you know, clientele? Like, if there's a very timid woman or, like, I don't know, a child walking through, do you guys, like, single each other, like, all right, hold it down.
Go really hard on this one. Make them cry.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, there are some folks, it's like shooting fish in a barrel, you know. You can, the actors will actually hear what's going on in the room before them, and they know they've got a live bunch.
Okay.
And
Hot crowd, just like a comic. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, and it just progressively gets worse as the people go through there, you know, and they do feed off of the activity that's going on in the room before them. Uh-huh. Absolutely.
Well, think about it. When lions hunt, they don't go after the strongest member of the wildebeest pack,
they go after the injured or the
children.
Wait, there's lions in this thing?
Yes.
All right, now
that's
we're
getting
interesting.
That's why it's terrifying.
I wonder, I'm wondering if I was an actor in one of these haunts, if I would treat it like before, as I'm waiting in the room, listening to the people in the next room, I wonder if I treat it like comedy, like pace around, give myself a pep talk, like, come on, be scary. Okay, come on. Oh, you're a fucking failure. You know you're going to fucking fail. They're just going to stare back at you. They're not even understand any of your spooks. Okay, here we go.
Shores would be in there, no costume, just a cigarette and ranting. Like, you know what else I hate? These parking spaces that are just too fucking small. Like, how am I supposed to fit my car in there?
Sitting in the middle of the room on a stool in your underwear, just smoking. Yeah. A spotlight on you from the top, you know? That's it.
I'm wearing
How did he get so raspy? It's terrifying.
I'm wearing a tux and just doing the William Shatner Rocket Man rendition. That'd be a great room. I want my own room next year. Yeah. So we are going to talk more about Savage Productions and Savage House in a minute. One thing I know you guys have heard about it, I wanted to talk about is Mr. Joe Rogan.
Yes.
Has refused to interview UFC fighters from moving forward that have been knocked out.
Well, he's asked the UFC to stop doing that.
Yeah, he's asked them to do it. And the thing is, I don't understand why we've been doing it for this long. Because people give fighters a lot of shit for their post-fight interviews, how they sound punchy and half-retarded. Right. I mean, they've just received head trauma.
Yeah.
They've basically got, by almost definition, a concussion. Yep. After being pushed to the peak of physical exhaustion. Let anyone in the world have that happen to them, and then someone stick a microphone in your face and be like, let me ask you something. Why is The Catcher in the Rye so prevalent to fiction and literature? Fucking a lot of pages, fucking good pages, a lot of big words in there, 110%. Whew.
Is that Donald Trump that just got knocked out?
The other thing that they don't even mention there, which is, you know, if you've been in a fight, you'll know this. I fought for quite a long time. I don't remember any of my fights as they're happening. You've got an adrenaline rush, and you're in the moment. You are trying to win a physical fight. And when you're in a ring trying to win a fight on something you've trained a long time for, and there's, you know, a couple thousand people watching you and taking pictures and stuff, you don't remember shit. It is just there, and then you see the video for the first time, and you're like, oh, I guess that's what happened in my fight.
Well, also, you know, these guys that even are with it enough to say something semi-intelligible, you know, like we talked about at that fight with Overeem.
Which is what started this, by
the way. Yeah, he was a bad sport and said, I felt a tap. Here's the thing. These are some of the most competitive people on the planet. And this is not like a baseball game. If you lose a baseball game, those guys play two a day sometimes.
Right.
You know, hundreds of games a year. These guys fight twice a year. That's 4 months of work building up to this one thing. And they just got knocked out in front of the entire nation. And then someone sticks a fucking mic in their face and says, okay, be a good sport about it. Like, I don't know. Like,
even more so, like, I kind of what Joe is going for, which I totally support, is the idea like, hey, if I bought a brand new laptop and I was like, oh man, I love this laptop, but then I went and hit it with a hammer three or four times, turned it on, and it said it didn't work, it's not the laptop's fault. It's not a shitty laptop. It's gone through some serious trauma, and whatever data was on there probably shouldn't be trusted at that point.
Like, for instance, like, Greg, if you only had one night to put on your haunted attraction, one night, and you worked all year for it, and the minute the people walked in, the wall just fell down, and someone put a mic in your face and said, what do you think happened here? You'd be like, fuck! You wouldn't have something intelligent to say. You'd be like, God damn it! Who do I have to kill?
I'd be looking out to make sure that the building inspector wasn't anywhere nearby, that's for sure. But, yeah.
Oh, wait. Speaking of which, you said you had some trouble last night on opening night. Is that always a problem on opening night?
It was a shit show.
What happened?
You know, it's funny because you'll spend months planning for this. We build everything off site because we only have 2 weeks to put it together on site. So we don't actually have construction.
And just so everybody can find you, where is on site real quick?
On site is is in the Target parking lot.
Perfect.
By right, Chipotle,
yeah,
remember?
Yeah, by Chipotle. Where, yeah, you can
where you
see
been?
You can see Gordon Biersch from where we're at.
He was recently knocked out. He doesn't remember.
My hard drive is damaged.
Cannot process, yeah. And we got to put this thing together in 2 weeks, and, you know, a lot of things get missed and forgotten, and, you know, opening night is really, really tough.
So it's kind of like the London Bridge. You have to bring it over piece by piece from your house and, like, set it up like that.
That's exactly what it is, and there's a lot of improvisation when it comes to putting this thing together. There's a lot of little things that we have to cover for, and then when you're, you know, 30 minutes out before it's time to open the doors, and you realize, oh, crap, what did we forget? And, you know, there's a lot on that.
What was the first thing that went wrong last night?
We forgot the ghosts.
Well, we forgot to notify the actors to show up, but no.
It was just your girlfriend running around with a sheet overhead.
That's we have a lot of technical stuff in the first room, a lot of computer stuff that wasn't functioning correctly. So, you know, that takes a little bit of work.
I'm just seeing, like, the people walk in, him hitting the soundboard and having, like, the the sad trombone go off. Or maybe what's that English actor for the guy used to chase around girls in lingerie?
Benny Hill.
I'm picturing the Benny Hill music going off, like, welcome to Savage House.
That's why you always need a nerd around. It's always helpful to have a random nerd hanging around that can fix your tech stuff when it goes bad.
That's why we keep
Geek
Bobby.
Squad. Yep. I need
exactly.
Geek Squad.
Yeah, unfortunately, they don't work at Target or Chipotle, so they're shit out of luck. So was that the only thing that went wrong?
No, no. We are utilizing CO2 this year for CO2 blasts with some guns that we built, and we're using those, and we couldn't get those to function correctly. I mean, they work fine on the beer tap, but for some reason, I can't get them to work in the damn haunted house.
I'll show you how to get them to work.
I appreciate that.
I'll build you some valves. Don't worry about it.
Yeah, so we were struggling with that, and structurally, everything was fine, but we had power failures, and it's almost like Christmas vacation. We got like 20 different plugs going into a splitter that's plugged into a splitter, which is plugged into a splitter. So, yeah.
Does the fire marshal know about this?
It gets really, really crazy like that. And then when you realize that the people that service your toilets did not come when they were supposed to, and they're like 4 days behind.
Now that's scary.
Yeah, now that's some real terror.
That is scary, yeah, yeah.
Now, in your experience, I wondered about this too. Either the haunted hotel or at your current attraction, have you ever had like an unruly customer? Someone who was like, for some reason, like, I don't know, it was like, don't touch me, fuck this shit.
Yeah, you know, I'll tell you, our actors are really good about this. They know they get hit, but they also know when it's intentional and when it's not intentional.
Right.
But when it's intentional, the radios go off. All our actors got radios, and man, I'll tell you, those radios go off, and before you know it,
code gray.
We pop in an emergency exit, and we're there to greet them when they come out of that room, and they're pretty damn surprised.
Is your security guard dressed like the Kool-Aid guy? Because that would be pretty sweet. He jumps through a wall.
Zombie Kool-Aid guy.
Zombie Kool-Aid. Don't touch the actors. Yeah. So what's the protocol when someone gets violent?
I can honestly say we have yet to have anything that bad.
Okay.
So fingers crossed that it stays that way.
So Drunken Ryan hasn't shown up yet?
We did have a bus last year come from, I think it was SDSU, a party bus.
Yeah.
There
was 40 people, and they were all lit. And you know what?
Sounds
they
like
were,
an easy night. No problems
they,
there.
They were actually great. We were happy.
What?
Yeah, I know. We were just they pulled up, and we went, oh, dear God.
Oh,
you know?
Wow. So that but they were imagine good. A frat showing up drunk is like the comedy club equivalent of a bachelorette party. Like, no, God.
That just gave me a great idea, which is, let's say they got out of hand, right? And you had far fewer people to handle them. All of a sudden, you'd have to use your special effects haunted house skills in order to take them down. So I'm imagining a guy who's trained to fight under a strobe light.
Yeah.
You know, just going in and popping off at SDSU kids.
I heard the one in the back has a little epilepsy. We'll hit the strobe light on him. He'll go right down.
Another guy throws a fog machine in there. It gets really dense. He pops in from the roof.
You're just taking people out with chloroform rags.
Why do we have these at the haunted house?
Don't worry about it. Don't ask questions. We got them from Chipotle. So, all right. So there's been no big trouble. What would be the policy if someone did get a little unruly?
Well, you know, it just so happens that I am a licensed security guard. But, you know, I don't want to mess with that. I really don't. But we know that that's going to happen one of these days. And so our plan is to actually, when that happens, have all the actors exit out the emergency exit. So
then
when they go
down
into the next room, there's nobody there. They'll be walking through empty rooms.
Oh, wow.
Looking around. And yeah, they'll be a little puzzled, a little stumped. But, yeah, it has not been a problem so far. So, you know, we just keep our fingers crossed for that. But,
nice. Dave
but
we
do have some big guys in there.
I'll tell you that.
Oh, boy.
You got one just hulked out guy ready to take someone out?
We do. Well, we had the brother and sister team, and I'll tell you, she's 6'4".
I thought that was going to stop earlier and be way funnier.
I ruined it.
We got a big brother. You know what I mean?
Well, me and Dave had some trouble with some shows recently as well. Dave, should I go first or do you want? Okay. So as I talked about on the last episode where Bobby and I showed up to a gig and they had no amplification system whatsoever.
Which has never happened to either of us in all of our time doing comedy.
Ever. So last night had a show in the wonderful town of East County. Specifically Lakeside.
Ooh, your old stomping grounds.
That's right.
Didn't you say I'm never going back to that shithole again?
I did, but then they offered me money.
All right,
and you know my policy on money. So anyway.
Yeah, you actually hit me up to be on that show, and I would have been there, but I had a previous obligation.
But you
and
think
now
you're
I'm
better
really
than
sad
that.
I missed it. I wish I would have been there.
Yeah, he had a previous obligation, so he had to borrow that club's PA system.
Yeah. So anyway, now this is right after this last show where I showed up. We had to call it, and you know the comics were pissed at me. It was a mess. But anyway, at this particular venue, I've done shows there before. I ran a show there for half a year many years ago before it burned the fuck down. So I'm like, well, I know they have a stage. They have an awesome lighting system. They have a great PA. I don't even need to ask. You think I learned my lesson.
Wait. Don't you know that they used to have these things before fire took them away?
Thank you, Captain Obvious. Where the fuck were you a week ago?
Here, making good points.
Fuck you, Bobby. You're not better than me. So anyway, I assume they don't have that shit. And so I show up. And by the way, Michael Castleberry, who was at the last gig I booked him on where there was
Bad Mike.
Yeah, he's a dick.
So Shore
shows up. It's still just a pile of ashes. They haven't rebuilt anything.
Yeah. I get there, and the owner's not fucking there. First of all, awesome. So now I have no point of contact. And then they're like, so what do you want to set up? I'm like, where's the stage? They're like, oh, no. That was just what they said. Oh, no. No stage. I'm like, okay, I guess we'll set up right there. Just bring me your PA. And they went, oh, double no.
Yeah.
I'm like, I just went, what did you just say? And so now I have to go back to Michael Castleberry, who I've done this to a week prior, and go, there's no microphone again. He, without missing a beat, God damn it! He just fucking lost his mind.
What if this is like an ongoing Kaufman bit that you do where you keep inviting Castleberry out to shows?
It's like
and
this bizarre intervention to try to get him to quit comedy. We just get him to his breaking point until he finally just stops.
Don't worry, come back in an hour. Still no mic. No, they rounded up a PA system like on the fly. And by the way, I called the owner. I'm like, what the fuck, man? He's like, my friend. No, I'm sorry. Listen, I assume. He changed.
So he's a Chinese guy?
He changed his story halfway through bullshitting me. He's like, my friend, I assume you had it should be the. I'm like, what? Which is it? What are you going to go with? You assumed I'd have it. It was there.
Yeah,
it was
this sounds
stolen.
Like English as a second language problem. He's just trying to find the right translation.
No, it was business management as a second skill problem. So anyway, we did end up rounding up a PA. It was a great show. It was one of those awesome bar shows where everyone saw that we had the cards stacked against us and was really rooting for us to do a good
job.
Still
managed to save the rec center.
Yes, we did.
Thank God the Peach Pit can stay open.
So yes, it ended up going fine, but we did have to start out with a karaoke machine. That was what we started, and everything sounded like this.
Everything sounded like a Filipino dude was singing. That's what karaoke machines are used for. Fuck yourself.
Bobby, please. Why don't you go sit in the corner and color, all
How
right?
dare you?
Dave, what was your what happened with your show?
Oh, our show. So I do Film Punch every month, and it's been a shitty turnout at best. Like most
sounds great.
Most shows will be 6 or 8 people, if that.
I seem to remember ours being really good. It was like a packed house.
The
I wonder what
the
difference
was.
Yeah.
So the place I do it at, the video store, they wanted to take a break. Like, yeah, it's been kind of weak. Let's take September off. I had already booked people to work the September show, so
Ooh.
I went to find a.
There's no microphone. Sorry.
Yeah. So we did the Ken Club, which
Castleberry.
Yeah, that's Brandon Ripper. We did the Ken Club, which is basically right next door,
sure.
And they have a great side room. Bobby used to run a show in that room. It's a great fucking room. It's nice stage, good setup, seating.
Great room, nearly impossible to get people to come.
Very impossible, as I found out, because the owner actually told me, he's like, you have the room all night. I was like, oh, cool. I'm going to do like two shows.
No one else wants it.
I'm going to do the movie show, and then after that, I'm going to do a comedy show. I'll call it Talent Show, so people just do weird alti shit instead of regular stand-up.
In Dave's mind, he's like, yeah, the problem is we won't be able to fit everybody into the first show, and I don't want to disappoint people, so we'll kick some of them out when that's over, and then let the other people come in.
Have you ever done that? Like, I have, like, early on, where I actually believed people when they said that I'll show up, and I'm like, well, if everyone that said they'll show up shows up, I'm going to need extra chairs?
Yeah.
We're going to be at capacity? Oh, my God. And cut to four people sitting there for my show, like, motherfucker.
I'm glad I double-checked with the fire marshal that it was okay to put 150 in this room.
Oh, my God. Isn't that the best, by the way, when you see a new comic that like, is under that fallacy, or anyone that is expecting audience turnout that's like, dude, over 100 people said they'd be here, and you say, okay.
Yeah.
I'll be there just to see
just
you
to
fail.
Just to watch this collapse.
Yeah.
And how many people showed up, Dave?
No, I was more excited for the talent show at 9, because I'm like, Film Punch always sucks. Probably have some people show up.
Because you're going to finally showcase your juggling?
Yeah. So Talent Show is going to be fun because I actually had people booked. I had four comics booked to perform, and then I had a couple random people on the event page. Like, oh, I'm going to come try some things. I'm like, cool, there's people actually coming to perform. There'll be some people here.
Yeah.
So Film Punch, not only was nobody there, but one of my riffers didn't show up. So we were actually negative on numbers.
Fuck.
So then like 9 o'clock rolled. We didn't even play the movie.
No?
No, we just sat in the side room and just chatted and had some drinks. It was three of us.
Oh, wow.
And so then I posted, messaged Bobby. I said, you're right, this room is cursed. That's why he hasn't started his show back up again, because it's so impossible to get people. I'm like, yeah, you're right, this room is cursed. No one's here. So out of the goodness of his heart, he came out to support. So we started, I still think someone's going to show up for talent show because people are booked on the show. So let's get the mic ready. So I got on stage, instead of the mic. He's in the back on the soundboard.
Well, because the mic isn't working, and so obviously
trying to figure out the problem, troubleshoot it. One other person showed up, a comic friend of ours, and that was it.
Mm.
Well, no, one person who was scheduled to perform showed up, but then one other comic. So we have just a couple people. So I ended up just riffing on stage with Bobby for 20 minutes.
That sounds fucking doing terrible. Nothing.
Yeah, it was. So he basically was like, I don't want to bring anybody up because there's no audience, so I'll just talk in the mic. And I had a mic in the back, and I was like, I'll talk to him. And my thing is, my favorite is I just kept trying to get Dave off stage. Once there became three or four people in the audience, I was like, all right, Dave, time to get off stage. You know, call somebody else up. And Dave was not having it. He fucking Russell Hicks the thing. Like, he stood up there and refused to get off stage.
Absolutely.
Here's what I don't understand about either of you guys is that when you show up to a thing and there's no one there, why do you not leave? Like, I fucking have been saying this forever. I'm a guy, when I show up to a show and there's no one there and they're not paying me, like, if they're paying me, I'll be like, I'll talk to nobody, but I'm leaving here with $150. But like, fucking these people that aren't getting paid, and I do unpaid shows still, like, if I show up and there's like less than six people, I'm like, all righty then, I'm going to go home and jerk off. See ya.
Well, to answer your question, I stayed because I'm a good friend. And Dave,
and to answer your question, you do that because you think you're better than us.
I do. I am better than you. Otherwise, if you were better than me, you'd fucking leave when there's less than six people. No, and you know what? By the way, I got into it with this guy on like a comic forum recently because I put up a thing that said like, hey, what's your minimum amount of people at an unpaid show where you'll just bail if there's not? I love these comics that think that like comedy is the Marines. Like, when you go up there, your job is to entertain no matter what the size of the audience. I'm like, calm the fuck down, dude. Seriously? And he's like, no matter who's there, you know what? When there's no one there, it teaches you something. I'm like, yeah, it teaches you to leave, fucking moron. he's like, you know what? When there's no one there, I still perform. And I have skills you don't. I'm like, what skills am I going to need if I leave every time that happens? I'm fine. Oh, and by the way, what skills are you needing for, like, if you make it and are on Comedy Central? Like, oh, I showed up and the theater was empty. Good thing I know what to do. Like, what the fuck are you learning from that? Go home.
Yeah, and you know what? I'll give you this. There are certain comedians where, because of their style and the way they do comedy, you can do comedy to one person. Those are rare, but they exist.
Yeah, it's called you and me hanging at my house. Right. Like, what are you gonna be on a stage with a microphone for? That's awkward.
You kind of can. There are some people who kind of can, but for the most part, if you are a regular comedian who has a standard act and stuff, it's not going to do you any good.
No.
Unless you need the time on stage because you are still uncomfortable on stage and you're still uncomfortable with the mic and you don't have the mechanics down, unless you're at that point, it's not going to do you any good.
Dude, if you are uncomfortable for empty chairs while you're standing there with a microphone, you need to quit in the first place.
No, what I'm saying is, if you're new enough that you're uncomfortable with the mechanics, you're uncomfortable with being on stage and all that stuff, then fine. Then doing it for three people helps because you need time on stage. Once you get enough time on stage, you don't need that anymore.
For some reason, I just pictured some new guy standing on that stage behind you like, thanks for letting me hang out, guys, while you do this. I'm just practicing how to hold the thing. These mic clips flips are super complicated.
I once watched a guy struggle for at the Kumite, actually struggle for like 30 seconds getting the mic back in the mic clip.
Nice.
Greg, have you ever had like no one show up to the attraction?
You know, I'm so glad you asked that. Thanks.
Really?
Yeah, no, really. You know, last year was tough because it was our first year in a new location down there. I mean, we're back this year, but it was our first year, and I remember opening night, and we're pumped, and we got everything together, and we're standing out there, and no lie, seven people showed up.
What do you do in that situation?
But at least with
throw
that,
up. I go to the bushes and throw up.
If somebody, nobody necessarily knows though, because if somebody comes by and they see seven people, they might assume there's 100 people inside the actual thing. In comedy, you can see everybody in the audience, and everybody in the audience can see you. We all know the score.
It's really bad when you sell fast passes to beat the crowd. Yeah, you know, and people show up, and it's like $5 extra for the fast pass to beat
amazing,
the crowd.
Because, hey,
nobody
you're
lying.
Beating the fucking crowd. Yeah, you're getting your money's worth.
You tell them there's a big line on the other side of that place, and they.
I can see where you'd be pissed if you still had to wait for a long time. But I mean, really, you got what you paid for.
Yeah,
come
exactly.
on in.
You know, and actually, just yesterday we did a thing with the San Diego Blood Bank to get blood donations. And
corn syrup's expensive, so yeah, you need that in the house.
You know, we had them show up, and we had somewhere between 40 and 50 people on our Facebook page saying, hey, we'll be there. We're going to donate to get free passes.
That should yield a turnout of two or three.
Yeah,
I'm telling
experience.
You. They're sitting there in their big RV, and there's three of them out there with their blue rubber gloves on, just waiting for somebody to come. Nobody's there. I'm looking in the parking lot for somebody to shank, just so I can get some blood for them. You know,
you feel so bad. You just keep you go in,
terrible.
You donate blood, you go back out, you put a fake mustache on, and come back. I would like to donate some blood.
By the end of the night, he's just laying there weak on the sidewalk, clutching his orange
with a whole bunch of costumes surrounding him.
Oh man,
he's got wigs and accessories everywhere. You know, that's another thing about the newer people that expect a big turnout. I always have this when I go on a tour, is I announce my dates. Like, this happened on the Endless Bummer tour. Like, people would hit me up, like, you're going to Amityville? Dude, I'm from there. I could pack the place. I'm like, I'm sure you think
right.
that.
Oh, yeah.
I'm sure that sounds like something that's going to happen in your own mind. And I'm like, well, actually, Dan Venti's from there. He would have been able to do it. But, I mean, in general, other than him, like, I'm like, yeah, dude, I let me tell you something. I am not going to fly you to Amityville, New York, just so you can see how much people don't care for you.
Yeah,
I'm
not going to pay for your reality check.
Yeah, I'm not going to pay for that at all.
Or what you should do is set them up, see how confident they are. All right, I'll tell you what. I cover your plane ticket if you get 15 people there. So you pay for your own plane ticket. I'll reimburse you as long as 15 people show up and say that they're on your guest list.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. But, I mean, there's nothing worse than that hometown reality
yes.
check. I got it so hardcore. Oh, it's the worst. And then I bombed. It was bad.
Well, in that case, it's better. That's what I was there.
Yeah, I was like, dude, only 15 people showed up. Oh, thank God, only 15 people showed up. Yeah, but that it's so disheartening how much people, and I cannot stand the people that continually say they'll be there. Like, dude, at this point, you're just insulting my intelligence. Like, come on, man, it's been years.
You probably could have stopped that sentence that I just can't stand the people.
I can't.
And that would have been accurate.
I can't. I'm like Patrick Bateman in American Psycho. I just stew and do cocaine and go straight to people. That sounded like more like Patrick Cosby. Hate the people. Real quick, another news item. I know we fucking jumped away from Joe Rogan real quick, but I saw this and I have to mention it. I posted about it on Facebook. Frances Bean Cobain, Kurt Cobain's daughter. Did you know she was married?
I did not. Nor
did anyone?
Nor do I really think I would have cared if that knowledge had come to me
no
at
idea.
Any time.
I'm not really concerned about a dead musician's
right.
kids' affairs. But anyway, she's over 18, and so she's inherited her dad's gigantic estate. And she got married for, like, I don't know, 1 or 2 years to some hipster musician. And they're getting divorced.
Mm-hmm.
Guess how much he wants in the divorce? Anyone? Any takers?
A couple of signed albums.
Yeah. Well, in addition to the guitar that Kurt Cobain used at the New York Unplugged sessions, a legendary session, he wants that. But in addition to that, he wants $12,000 a month.
Well, you got to keep up that kind of lifestyle.
Yeah, he's gotten used to a lifestyle. Who can blame him? And millions from her dad's estate. His reasoning, he had to put his musical career on hold. I'm sorry, I couldn't even get through it. He had to put his musical career on hold so to marry her. Keep in mind, he's not in, I don't know, Rise Against.
So
he's,
many things wrong with that. First of all, can you not multitask?
How long does it take you to bang Kurt Cobain's daughter that right? has taken up your whole fucking workday?
And I'm sorry, putting shit on hold. Like, if I marry a millionaire, I don't have to put anything on hold anymore. The days of putting shit on hold are over. I have a free pass to do whatever I want. Haunted attraction all year round. I'm bankrolling it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, there's no more on hold. Secondly, I love when unknown artists of any caliber estimate their own worth.
Yeah, this is a theoretical musical career at best. Yeah.
Like his sweet little LA hipster band, like, I think, okay, your dad's worth $450 million for changing rock and roll as we know it 20 years ago. I think I would have done about that. I would have changed rock and roll. Yeah. I would have released the next Nevermind. Of course I would have.
The problem is we have this really, really weird system in the United States especially, but this bizarre system where we go, if you marry somebody, you are then entitled to whatever lifestyle you quote-unquote become accustomed to. And that's actually the legal standard. Are you accustomed to a certain lifestyle?
Which is why every time Heather Mills' fake leg falls off, Paul McCartney's gold comes spilling out.
And it's a stupid, really ignorant form of doing it, which is basically, I think it kind of breaks the whole amendment against slavery, because what you're saying is for the rest of your life you must then support this person for no apparent reason.
Yeah, that is a little bit weird.
It's one thing, and I will grant this. Like, if you help your spouse get through med school, like you pay for them, you're working nonstop and you're paying for them to go to med school, and then they become a doctor and dump you, fine, because you have input a certain amount of cash and whatever into this person becoming somebody who can make money.
Yeah,
that makes sense. But if what you're saying is I married somebody who was not only already wealthy but literally born into wealth,
yeah,
so I have not contributed to that wealth in any fashion whatsoever.
Yeah, I was a barista when we met. All right, right. I kicked in.
Dude, that's if you guys have seen Eddie Murphy Raw, I watched it a million times. He has a bit about that, about Johnny Carson getting divorced.
Oh, yeah.
And how she wanted half of his money. And he's like, what is that like? Like, he's worth $300 million. What, does she work at a shoe store on the weekends? Like, okay, now we have $300 million and $80.
No, yeah. And you know what? I mean, honestly, I don't buy it either. Greg, you ever been married?
Yes.
Ooh.
He's going to feel uncomfortable because his girlfriend's in the room.
She is in the room, but I'm sure she knows that information.
No, I just meant more about bringing up the alimony talk. Hey, how are you going to screw over the next person you marry?
No, that's the thing. When I fucking when I propose to Aaron, I'm like, just so you know, I'm having some documents drafted up, so when you leave, you get nothing. You will have less than what I'm keeping your daughter. I'm keeping your daughter. She's now my slave.
I have some friends who are going through a divorce right now. I have a few of them. And you know what you realize is the big problem, we say this all the time, like as a joke, it's the lawyers. It really is. I have a friend who was divorcing. It was an amicable divorce. They were all totally cool with it. Oh, here's what we're going to do. Here's what money we're going to play. Here's how it's going to go. Everybody was having the time of their life splitting up, and everything was going to be just fine. Fucking lawyers get involved as like, oh, we just took technicalities. We'll just sign some documents. And then all of a sudden it's, we want $2,000 a month every month, and then we want half of your car, and then we want this. And their whole thing is like, they keep telling these people, they keep telling whoever they're representing, hey, this is what you deserve. We just want you to get what you deserve. Yeah. This is what you're entitled to this. Yeah. You don't want to get screwed over, right?
You're going to walk away with nothing?
Yeah, now you're missing out on things.
I swear to Christ, there should be a nonprofit that is hired to just go around and torture and assassinate divorce attorneys, because you're fucking scum. If any divorce attorneys are listening, you're fucking scum. Stop living. Just
keep listening, though.
Yeah.
Please keep tuning in.
Subscribe on iTunes before you kill yourself.
Yes. Hit that subscribe button. Also, go to Savage House before you die, and then you're off to the races.
Honestly, you're worse than child pedophiles. You are the worst fucking human beings on earth. Stop doing what you're doing. But
is that a pedophile that's still a child? Yeah. Or is that...
Technically, he's fucking kids. He's Hofstettering these kids.
But I've seen that. I've seen people go through that. Especially, it's funny, if you're in the comedian community. I remember when I was getting engaged to my current wife, I was like in a car driving back from a show with a bunch of comedians, and I'm like, guys, I'm gonna ask my girlfriend to marry me. And they're like, oh,
you're not
no. Every one of them's like, I'm in the middle of a divorce. She's gonna fucking screw you. She's gonna take everything you've ever owned. Like, they're going.
I love the sour people who have a different story than yours completely. Like, I've had many of those. When I said I was gonna get engaged to Aaron, a lot of I'm like, dude, let me tell you what happened to me. I'm like, you married a stripper after 3 days of knowing her. I don't think our stories are that parallel. But oh, no, it is. It is.
I still take the sour side. And my whole point is, like, half of all marriages fail.
True.
I'm definitely betting against you on this one.
Okay.
You're in that. I'm not saying you personally. I'm just saying, like, in general. Like, yeah, half of them fail.
Yeah, but
you're not going to make it.
I'm prepared for that,
if you tell me that you're going to swim the English Channel, I don't think you're going to do it.
But here's the thing. More than half the people who try that fail. If you're saying 50% of people who do this thing fail, do you think you're better than those 50%? Fuck yes, I think I'm better than 50% of Americans.
Oh, dude, you know how many people he thinks he's better than?
Absolutely.
All the people.
I'll put myself in the top 80th percentile any day of the week.
80th, really?
Yeah.
More modest today than usual.
Well, I'm saying, it depends. I mean, listen, if we're talking certain things, I'm way high. Foosball and parallel parking, 99% for sure.
99% foosball?
Yes.
No chance.
Dave, who do you think can beat me in foosball?
Off the top of my head, I know five people.
Off the top of your head, you know zero. All right, listen.
Wait. This has to be a thing.
Yes.
Okay, wait. Can you beat him at foosball?
No, I cannot. Here, I'm not trying to bring us down. My cousin just died, was a foosball champion, a shit ton of trophies. His ex-wife and three of his daughters
yeah.
are amazing at foosball. The kids are coming to visit me in November.
Right.
They're all going to play you, and you're going to lose to all three of them.
I don't want to bring you down, but your cousin died because he was playing me in foosball. Keep going.
Oh, I don't think so. But
there has to be a wager.
He died because he ignored decades of medical research on the effects of smoking.
By the way, I do want to have a cigarette after this, but it reminds me. But there's got to be a wager.
Absolutely.
What's the wager?
What would you like? And who's the guy? I mean, listen. Wait,
you're the one
making
the bet.
If you're going to bring in a professional foosball player, like I said, 99%, I'll say a professional could beat me. Non-professional, no.
Okay. So I don't think there is professional foosball players.
There is.
What?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
That is outrageously angering. Mm-hmm. Anyway.
Dude, my cousin, he toured the country playing. He would have those giant novelty checks for winning tournaments.
What?
He used to run a tournament back in Michigan.
So is this...
it's like a real thing.
Does this exist for air hockey? Because I'm awesome at air hockey.
No, this exists for sports, Ryan.
Okay, so, all right, the wager, we have to come up with something.
Find somebody who can beat me in foosball or parallel parking. That's it.
So if Dave's niece or whatever they are to you, if even one of them beats you in foosball,
mm-hmm.
will you get Dave's name tattooed on you?
No, I'm not.
Poor choices, man.
His confidence is flagging.
Oh, looks like you're not the 99 percentile anymore.
No, even then, if it's 1% chance, I'm not getting a Dave's name tattooed on me.
Will you shave your head?
No. We will have a standard bet. We'll hammer out the rules, like best two out of three.
What's non-standard
like
about a tattoo? Rob from the Strikers, his brother, is it? Or brother-in-law is going to get Rob's face tattooed on his ass.
Raising $1,000. Yeah. Like, not a big amount of money.
Lower 50%. It's in the lower 50%.
I should work out a wager where I benefit either way. Like, okay, if you win, you take us both out to dinner. If you win, you take us both out to dinner. That way I'm set. I should do that.
That'll be our next listener challenge, too. Instead of competing against Ryan in horror movie trivia, you can compete against me in foosball. less people will win.
I've never been beat in horror movie trivia.
And that's even less people
will
win.
I'll get a ticket too if someone. If Greg can beat me in horror movie trivia, I'll take someone out to dinner, probably Aaron.
I think you got to run through the entire Savage House naked by himself and just get eaten alive.
But they're coming in November, though. That'll be done. Speaking of listener...
Well, we can assume victory for my niece. I mean, it's going
to
happen.
I can't wait to just wipe that smug, stupid smile off your face, Dave.
Keep waiting, buddy. Never going
to
happen.
Yeah, pack a lunch. Speaking of listener challenges, we have some free passes to Savage House to give out. Now, we're going to be giving them out all October long. Greg's hooked us up with a big old stack of them. I appreciate it so much.
My pleasure.
And we're going to be doing an event out front on Saturday, October 15th. It will not interfere with operations. We'll just be there with our little table and our microphones, and we're going to have all the degenerate listeners who've won passes come over that night. And so anyway, the way to win...
is to challenge Bobby in any physical activity.
Anyway, archery?
Axe throwing?
You know what? I'll take archery. I'm not going to beat 99% of people, but I'll beat most people in archery, foosball, or boxing. I'll give you those three.
You're the fucking worst. Here's the way to win passes this week. We're going to give away a little stack of them. We're going to be giving away all October long, though. At the end of these episodes, you may have noticed, we do a top drop. Bobby takes one piece of audio from somewhere in the episode and plays it at the end of the show, way out of context. All you have to do is message one of us on Facebook, Twitter, whatever you choose, and tell us what that audio said. That's it. And now, the first six people that do it get passes. So the first six people that message us, even if you see some other people do it, you might still be in the running. So message one of us, and we will come together and say who won the passes. We'll announce it next week.
Ooh, Ryan, you know what we should do? We should get a foosball table out there, out in front
of
Savage House.
Oh, my God. Yes. But that might also distract Greg's customers. I hate for them to
I can't stop watching all these people get beat by this crazy white guy.
The fantasies that run through Bobby's head on a constant clip just kill me.
Thank you, Dave. I do have a huge dick. Oh, sorry. I'm delusional as well.
By the way, my birthday is next month. Don't worry. Don't get me anything. I know you weren't anyway. But I've already gotten the offer to do a birthday show,
That's your favorite.
I don't understand comics or anybody or musicians that want to do a show on their birthday. I've never understood it.
Well, some of us like our craft, but...
What? I want to invite Shores to a surprise birthday party for him, but only five people there and see if he leaves. Not six people? I'm out.
No, I mean, the thing is, like, I love doing comedy, but at the same time, on my birthday, I want to be knee-deep in cocaine and 20 beers in. I don't want to fucking be, like, pacing around a club I'm at usually anyway, wondering how I'm going to do. Like, I feel like anyone...
You're going to do horrible.
Yeah, I know. I feel like anyone that, like, likes to do birthday shows, like, doesn't get booked enough. I think, like, being booked is just, like, such a rare treat. They're going to gift themselves a show on their birthday. Have you guys ever done
that? They also have a much higher opinion of how good their comedy is. So good, I'm going to entertain all my friends on my birthday.
Well, my wife did something interesting for my 30th. She threw a roast for me. This was before roast.
At his head. She threw a roast at his head. You get out of here, you son of a bitch.
This was before roast battles became a thing and roasts were a big thing and everything. She just threw a roast. So she just invited a bunch of comedian friends over to a club and had them do it. And then, of course, you respond to your roast. So, like, that part was fun. I was technically doing a show and technically on stage, but it was riffing on what other people had said.
Yeah, but you're not doing the act you've done 1,000 times.
Right.
Like, you know, you're not, like, showing up to work on your birthday. I don't get that. And everyone has to do their own little thing about it. Also, I feel like at birthday shows, nothing ever goes to your expectations. Like, you're always picturing something perfect in your head, and then something goes completely fucking wrong. It's been a theme of this fucking show so far. Speaking of which, Savage, at Savage House last night, you said something weird happened.
One of the things we do is in our box office on the inside, we keep a tally of anybody that's either gone out the emergency exit, if they peed themselves... If they they lose shoes. We have people leave without
shoes?
A shoe.
Did they get hit by a car?
It looks just like something on the news where they zoom out and there's a shoe in the street.
How does that happen?
We don't know. And what? They take off, and sometimes they don't even come back for the shoes. So at the end, we have all this stuff. But last night we did have somebody that dropped a deuce in the hall.
Really?
Yeah.
Wait.
And the strangest thing is they really don't have any problem with admitting it. They come out and they tell us, oh, my God, that was great. I peed myself in the third room. I really did. And then they run off to the porta potties out there. They're not even embarrassed. They're almost proud, like it's a badge of honor.
Oh, my God.
Okay, guy or girl?
It was a guy.
Okay, so a guy, he was so scared. Was he so scared, or did he have, like, dysentery?
I think he might have been tired, too. I'm not sure.
I have never been so tired
so
that
tired.
I shit myself.
I can't hold it anymore.
You know, after a long day of work, you come home, you just want to fucking pop a beer and shit yourself.
Well, this makes me want to go to a haunted house, like,
so
buy some extra clothes from a thrift store and just, like, leave articles of clothing in all the rooms. Hey, someone left their underwear in here. Sorry. I just want to circle back real quick. While we were talking, I messaged a comedian friend of mine in L.A. who is also a foosball champion.
Right.
She's going to be here the end of October. So that's going to be your first loss.
Yeah, she's going to lose at the end of October.
That's going to be your first
she's
loss. Then my niece is going to beat you. So you're going to have a string
of
losses coming up.
I will just slaughter these women in your life.
There needs to be a wager.
I love how excited he is about beating women, first of all.
Well, first of all, society doesn't usually let you do it. That's sexist.
One last thing is... A few episodes ago, many episodes ago, actually, we read some Yelp reviews from the Madhouse where we currently tape every week, and people thought that we were, like, shitting on just this club. No. The thing is, my point of that whole bit was that every fucking place has ridiculous Yelp reviews. If you didn't catch that, go kill yourself. But anyway, so here's one. I wanted to bring up some rival comedy clubs and read one of their bad reviews just to close out this show. This one I really gravitated towards. I love this review. It's from Walter W., Yelp review of the Comedy Palace in Claremont. I've been here twice. This is two stars. I've been here twice.
Ooh, two stars.
And both times felt like I was taken to the Midwest. That's the...
What does that mean?
I don't
it's
know.
Apparently an insult.
I saw grass everywhere.
Yeah. There was a cow.
No mountains anywhere here.
They were calling soda pop. All right.
I feel he clearly doesn't like the Midwest.
Well, either that or he was like, everybody was really polite.
Yeah, everyone
a
waved.
A little bit overweight.
Yeah.
There was a Walmart right next to it. Just doesn't feel like San Diego. Fine. Maybe it was the comics. What are you talking about?
The same comics that are at all the clubs? Like, it's not like they just have their own comics at that particular club.
Maybe it was all the cigarette smoke on the patio. Well, then it's not the Midwest. Aren't they allowed to smoke inside there?
No, nowhere in the country now.
Nowhere? Fine. No, that's not true. Pennsylvania. I just got back from there.
No, you just refused to leave with your cigarette.
They did have a little alcohol. What the fuck are you talking?
It's like a thimble full that they have to pass around. Everybody yeah. take a sip.
It was like in a canteen. They're all rashing it out. They did have a little alcohol. Just doesn't compare to the American Comedy Club downtown. Justin, is this you?
Oh,
this
yeah,
has gotta
right?
be Justin.
Yeah.
This has got to be the owner of the American Comedy Club. Not to mention there were ladies. I use that term loosely as they seem more like grannies trying to get people to buy shots of vodka.
What does that even mean?
I think he's saying the bartenders were old and were trying to sell him booze at a bar.
But they only had a little bit.
All the girls that work there, and none of them are old by any stretch of the imagination.
None of them. I think
I'm just
the oldest
picturing
one's 38.
Like, maybe some off-brand of vodka like Popov had sent some shot girls out there, but you know they got some older ladies, some grannies out trying to pass out shots.
Geriatric
brand
vodka.
Awareness. Brand awareness.
She's got Parkinson's. She's really trying to pull it together. Just pour one shot. Yeah. And then he finishes by saying, it was a horrible sight to see. So his big fucking complaint is the bartenders were a little older than his liking and tried to sell him alcohol.
And everybody is apparently from the Midwest, I guess.
Yeah. On that note, Greg, where could he find more information about Savage Productions?
You can go on our website, which is thesavagehouse.org. Savagehouse.org.
Savagehouse.com was taken?
It was.
By Fred and Ben Savage, of course.
Fucking Savage.
Yeah, we got a Facebook page, too, so you can find us on Facebook. We got Instagram as well as Twitter. So, yeah, we're out there.
All right. And once again, listen for this top drop that's coming up in just a second to win free passes to our event on October 15th.
One last thing before we go. Do not forget, this month we're doing Degenerates Takeover Film Punch. So it's going to be Kensington Video. We had a packed house last time. We're going to do it again. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Yes, this one will have capacity seating because the last one did. This is not just my opinion. All right. I'm Ryan Shores for Dave Callens, Robert Timothy, and Greg Curtis from Savage Productions saying, see you next week, cruising with the twos. Technically, he's fucking kids.
Yeah, time passing by. Oh, that time passing by. Oh, motherfucking time is passing by.